Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Stoic. Each weekday, we bring you a meditation inspired by the ancient Stoics, something to help you live up to those four Stoic virtues of courage, justice, temperance, and wisdom. And then here on the weekend, we take a deeper dive into those same topics. We interview Stoic philosophers. We explore at length how these Stoic ideas can be applied to our actual lives and the challenging issues of our time. Here on the weekend, when you have a little bit more space, when things have slowed down, be sure to take some time to think, to go for a walk, to sit with your journal, and most importantly, to prepare for what the week ahead may bring.
I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorne.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, it's Ryan. Welcome to a Sunday episode of the Daily Stoic podcast. I was just doing this quick talk with a women's group, or it was all women, but it was a wonderful little book club that had read Stillness is the Key. And they asked me this interesting question: what would Stoicism look like had it been led by women? And it's something I've thought a lot about, obviously, in Lives of the Stoics. I tried to speak about not just Stoicism's pioneering belief that men and women should both be taught philosophy, but Portia Cato, Cato's daughter, who's such a brilliant and inspiring embodiment of the Stoic virtues. But, you know, Stoicism, like all history, is unfortunately very masculine and male driven, not because that's representative of who is or isn't Stoic, but just because of how society was structured. And so in today's episode, I want to talk about some Stoic insights from inspiring women. I want to talk about the feminine side of Stoicism, what we can learn from Stoic women. And I'm excited to share it from you. As Musonius Rufus, that's Epictetus' teacher, reminds us, it is not men alone who possess eagerness and a natural inclination towards virtue, but women also. Women are pleased no less by men than noble and just deeds, and reject the opposite of such actions. Since that is so, why is it appropriate for men to seek out and examine how they might live well, that is, to practice philosophy, but not women? That he said that 2,000 years ago is wonderfully progressive and open-minded. And that's why in today's episode, I'm going to share some powerful insights I have learned from women in my life and in history about the wonderful Stoic principles that we talk about so often here. Someone once thanked Eleanor Roosevelt for her passionate support of a piece of legislation. And she said, passionate? That word doesn't apply to me. And this is a really important distinction. The Stoics warn against the passions, being caught up in a passion about something, whether that's anger or excitement or enthusiasm or anything like that. You know, there's this cliche that women are more emotional than men. I haven't found that to be true at all in my experience, but I have found that leaders are actually not passionate, or at least that passion can be a disadvantage for a leader, right? George Bush is passionate about invading Iraq. A lot of the biggest mistakes I've made, things I've jumped into, I was too passionate to see objectively. So the Stoics try to strip passion out. They try to look at it calmly, clearly, effectively, objectively, not driven by or blinded by passion. That doesn't mean you don't care about things. That doesn't mean you don't try to do things. You don't want to be driven by passion. You don't want to be described as passionate, as Eleanor Roosevelt said. You want to be something different.
Florence Nightingale is 16 years old when she first gets what she refers to now as the call. It was calling her to something. She wasn't sure exactly, but she came to believe that this was nursing, helping wounded veterans of war. But one of the main reasons she doesn't pursue this call is she's scared of what her parents will think. They'd sooner she become a prostitute than a nurse. But 8 years later, she waits for 8 years, she gets the call again. And this time the call says, "You're gonna let what other people think get in the way of answering my call?" This time she realizes that no, she has to do it. But it takes her another 18 years. The courage was calling, but she declines it for 16 years. But eventually she's brave enough to do it. She plunges into this field. Just a few months after she answers the call, she's in a hospital in the Crimea, revolutionizing nursing. So we all get the call. The question is, how soon are we gonna answer it? Are we gonna be brave enough to answer it? And are we going to let other things get in the way of the call that's calling us to whom we're meant to be? Three lessons I learned from my wife, Samantha. I remember we got in an argument once and I said something like, "You're frustrating me." She said, "Nobody can frustrate you. You're responsible for your own emotions," which is true. The Stoics would say, "You can't make me angry." Epictetus says, "When you're offended, remember you're complicit in taking the offense." And I think about that always, and we catch each other doing it to each other all the time. Number two, you can't watch a woman go through childbirth and not be amazed at the ordinary and also extraordinary courage of this dangerous, painful, insane thing that women not only do, but do for some reason often without anesthetic. It's totally insane. But when you watch someone go through it, you realize it's not men who are tough. It's women who are tough at a level that men can't even comprehend. Number three, my wife likes to joke that one of us is a Stoic and the other writes about Stoicism, which is a great way of expressing something Epictetus said, which is, don't talk about your philosophy embodied. I actually find my wife is much more naturally Stoic than I am. In a lot of situations, I try to think to myself, what would my wife naturally do in this situation? That's what I have to will myself to do. And Stoicism is all about finding examples of people who inspire you to be what you're capable of being. And my wife has always been that for me. There's a story I tell about Margaret Thatcher in the new book, Courage is Calling. She's a young woman, she's an aspiring chemist, and she's being interviewed at this big company. And she can see on the interviewer's paper across the table from her, she can read this upside down, he's written, "This woman is much too difficult to work here." And you could see how that could just suck the life, suck the ambition out of a person. It could make you doubt yourself and who you are. But this is why courage is so important. We have to have the courage to be ourselves, to not let things or life changes. Agrippinus, one of the early Stoics, talks about how he wants to be the red thread in a garment, the one that pops out. He doesn't want to be like everyone else, and neither should you. You have to have the courage to be who you are, to not be changed, to not be beaten down by the status quo, by conventional wisdom, by how everyone else thinks and acts. You have to have the courage to be yourself.
Of all the Stoic philosophers, there was something different about Portia Cato, and you don't have to hear much about her to understand why she's been so inspiring for so many thousands of years. Portia was introduced to Stoicism as a child by her father, the towering Stoic Cato the Younger, and she quickly dedicated herself to this philosophy. Even after her own husband was killed during Rome's civil war, even after the fall of the Republic that her family had cherished, even after the tragic death of her first child, we're told that Portia remained resolute. And still more true, Plutarch wrote, is that the daughter of Cato was deficient neither in prudence or in courage. In fact, Portia picked up the pieces of her shattered life and eventually remarried to a man named Brutus. As a knowing wife, she quickly intuited that her husband was planning something in 44 BC, but she wasn't sure what. Instead of demanding that he explain himself, she decided she would prove her trustworthiness and fortitude. Plutarch writes that Portia took a small knife and stabbed herself in the thigh, and then waited to see how long she could stand the pain. Bleeding profusely and shaking in near delirium from her wound, when her husband finally came home, she grabbed him and said, "Brutus, I am Cato's daughter, and I was brought into your house not as a concubine to share your bed and board, but to be a partner in your joys and in your troubles. You are faultless as a husband," she said, "but how can I show you my service
if I am to share neither in your suffering or anxiety, which craves a loyal confidant? I know that women's nature is thought too weak to endure a secret, she said, but good rearing and excellent companionship have gone far towards strengthening my character, and it is my happy lot to be both the daughter of Cato and the wife of Brutus. Before this, referring to her wound, she said, I put less confidence in my advantages, but now I know that I am superior even to pain. Brutus was so moved by what he witnessed that he not only informed his wife of the plot to kill Julius Caesar, but committed to proving himself worthy of her courage and commitment. And on the Ides of March, we get a sense of that courage and how large it loomed in Brutus's mind. He and the conspirators descended on Caesar with a savagery that surprised both the victim and himself. The historians tell us that Portia was out of her mind with worry, and yet she remained strong, waiting for her husband to come home. Civil war would follow the assassination, and Portia and Brutus would be separated. As he left his wife, Brutus realized he was leaving behind no Penelope, but that his wife was a warrior, a conspirator, more than his equal. Thanks so much for listening to the Daily Stoic podcast. If you don't know this, you can get these delivered to you via email every day. Check it out at dailystoic.com/email. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so if you had a time machine, how far in time would you need to go back to be a dominant basketball player of that era?
I need to go to when Bob Cousy was playing.
Back in the plumber days?
27-year-old Shea would give Bob Cousy the f***ing business. He's not guarding me.
Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano, and we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea and I are combing through all of the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling ones, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Six Trophies ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Guy Raz's How I Built This is a podcast where each week he talks to the founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you hear these entrepreneurs really go into their story. And Guy is an incredible interviewer. He doesn't just dance around the surface. He asks real questions because he himself is an entrepreneur. He's built this huge show and this huge company. In a recent episode, they talked to the founder of Liquid Death, that crazy water company that's become this billion-dollar brand. Follow the show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. And for a deep dive in daily business content, listen to Wondery Destination for Business podcasts with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.